The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We'll talk about rent pressure zones because you'll be well aware at this stage, it's been widely covered that Cabinet tomorrow we're going to be discussing changes to rent pressure zones. So under the proposals, apparently the 2% cap on increases will stay in place for existing tenants, but in between tenancies or for newly built homes, the rate of increase in rent would be tied to inflation rather than 2%. Paul Murphy's the People Before Profit TD and he's with me. Paul, I understand you think this is a bad decision. Were it to be made by government, why?
Because renters are already struggling. Rents have doubled over the past 10 years. Homelessness has tripled over the past 10 years. House prices are higher than ever. And what the government is proposing is to allow rents to rise even faster and likely cause a significant increase in homelessness. I mean, really, they are planning to unleash landlords on tenants, allowing them to charge market rates. And there appears to, obviously we don't have the full proposal in front of us, but it appears they're saying from a certain point onwards, new entrants will not be covered by any rent restrictions. So the rent pressure zones, which have been limited but have provided an important protection for tenants, would be gone. So the tenants in those new properties could be facing very significant rent increases year on year. And that for other tenants, when they're what you described there as in between tenancies, but now we're supposed to have tenancies of unlimited duration now, but effectively you're reintroducing a situation where after 6 years, okay, for 6 years, you will have 2% rent increases. But after that, you get reset to the market rate. So you could be faced with a 20% rent increase, or you'd be faced with eviction with no cause. It's really, really a disaster. It's going to make the housing crisis even worse.
And we're going to hear from Cara Deeter in a moment, the director of Irish Mortgage Brokers. But the argument in favour sometimes made is that we need all of this kind of private capital to flood the property market. Yep. 25 billion odd quid a year needs to be invested in terms of the construction of new homes, be they houses or apartments. And in order to do that, we need to adjust the rent pressure zone legislation and how it works to attract that back in.
Yes. So the argument is, and we should be clear on this, and the government should be clear on this, in order to do this, we need to allow rents to rise faster. That's going to attract more investment. And in the long run, that supply is going to trickle down and deal with the crisis. So they're admitting that it's going to mean that it's going to become even harder for renters. But secondly, we should be clear that...
But ultimately, they would say it would get easier because there'll be a cheaper house in the market in 5 years' time.
Yes, that's what they would say, right? But we should recognise, one, rents have already doubled over the past 10 years. I mean, what exactly? How much are landlords looking for? There is no flood of landlords leaving the market. In fact, the number of private tenancies rose to the highest number ever last year, up by almost 8%. The number of private landlords increased by almost 5% to over 100,000. And the RTB says that the rate of landlords leaving the market is the lowest it has ever been since the RTB began collecting this data. We already are throwing money at private landlords in terms of the HAP subsidies, over €1 billion a year, and at private developers in terms of Croí Cónaithe, in terms of the waiver of development contributions, in terms of giving public land to developers, in terms of LIHAF, in terms of ISIF and previously NAMA co-funding developers. So there's no shortage of public money being given in various schemes to private developers. And that hasn't worked up until now. The government's going to make it worse and try and kind of resolve the housing crisis on the backs of renters. But I think all the evidence of what they've done up until now is that that's going to make it worse for the vast majority of people, for renters in particular, and just for the benefit of the profit of the small number of big corporate landlords we have in this country.
Carol Deeter, I mentioned, who is the director of Irish Mortgage Brokers. Carol, do you think it's a good idea to adjust how the rent pressure zone legislation has been working?
Well, it hasn't worked. So, I mean, that's something that you have to look at. And Paul is correct in that. In fact, I'm really find it refreshing to see him so supportive of the Fine Gael policy of rent pressure zones, which were designed and implemented by Simon Coveney. So it's great to see him come, you know, back towards the centre on that one. But it's like capping the price of bread, but not flour. You see, it's known that they don't work. It was known at the time. In fact, a Nobel laureate, Assar Lindbeck, who won a prize in economics, said rent control is the most effective technique known to destroy a city other than bombing. The RPZs didn't work. They factually failed. They factually ruined investment in the sector. And they're factually only supported by people who understand emotions, but not the equations, because the money has to come into the sector. That's a reality. Now, whether it comes from the state, from whoever you want, it doesn't matter. It has to come from somewhere. And what we see is a trend towards the delay of housing, towards wanting to make things that will allow investment to occur being prevented. We see people objecting to thousands of units, and maybe Paul can talk about that too. He might have some light to shed on units that he's been against in the past. And this is the kind of thing that, when you add it all together, makes an untenable situation. Rent controls made rents in Stockholm turn into a 10-year waiting list, and people were subletting at a 300% markup. You see, it has bad outcomes, and it was done for political expediency at the time. It was a mistake then, it's a mistake now. And it's like saying, look, we want to have a speed limit in the city, people are driving too fast. But so you set the speed limit at 5 kilometers an hour. You want to be real safe. And then you realize food isn't getting where it needs to be on time. People can't make it to work. And then companies stop hiring. People leave the country. And you say, look, we have to raise the speed limit. And the first thing people say is, oh, there's going to be road accidents. Yeah. So you're in favor of road deaths. But that's not what anyone is saying. What Carl, we're saying is a policy is destructive. So don't double down on it. But don't keep doing it.
The 5 kilometer an hour policy is destructive. But I don't think anybody suggests you abandon speed limits. So there's a balance, and is kind of a 2% increase per annum, the balance is balancing it.
No, because the balance is the market in this instance, because if you accept that we had very low rents, say 15 years ago, that was as a result of building too many houses and the market adjusted downwards. And for a while, we had really affordable housing. We had a golden era of housing affordability, but we didn't build enough houses when that was the case. And so we've ended up with this massive shortage, which is being compounded by, anti-investment sentiment, by regulations that make it very expensive to do it. Like, when you talk about bringing it back up to reality, like I said, it's like capping the price of bread but not flour. Nothing costs the same as it used to. We have much higher standards. We have all these other things acting against it, and the fall off in housing is spectacular. Ronan Lyons listed a piece that said something like 2,500 units in the last couple of months alone have been taken out of circulation because of people objecting. And those houses won't be able there for anyone, no matter who wanted to build them.
Is there a way of unwinding rent pressure zone legislation that doesn't lead to short-term pain for some while you wait for that supply?
Look, if I was running for a political party, I'd say there is no. Short answer is no. People are going to get hurt. That is a byproduct of it. But, you know, we've always had this thing of insiders and outsiders in Ireland. And so we're really good at making sure that that dynamic is there. So we create these lifeboats with limited seats in them. So the people who own homes, they're going to be fine. The people who had rent control, they're fine. They're happy. The people who are outsiders, the younger people, the people who move here or enter the rental market, they all get utterly shafted. And they've been getting hurt for long enough. And they need a shot at having a house. And if this is the way to get them there, then yes, some people will get hurt. But I think to say it can happen any other way without that occurring, it's just not true. And that requires like mature realization of the situation.
But despite that call for a kind of mature realization, I'm going to rely on just an old cliche: short-term pain, long-term gain.
Well, I think Carl puts forward, honestly, the logic of market fundamentalism, that is the reality of the government. Like, he's right that the government tried to say, oh, we're going to balance between the rights of renters and that. But no, he's right that the logic is to say that the rights of the landlords and the investors comes first, and don't worry, it'll all work itself out. And so we're going to go from 15,000 people homeless to 20,000 people homeless. People are going to go from paying 3,000 euros for rent of a 3-bed in Tala to maybe paying 4,000, but it'll all work itself out. The problem is, I don't believe it will all work itself out. I don't think that the market has resolved any aspect of the housing crisis. You look at the huge amount of money that is already being made by landlords. Rent has doubled over the past 10 years. How much money do these people want? If the corporate landlords aren't even paying really tax on it. They're enabled set up in this way.
If the government don't intervene, we're going to hit 20,000 homeless.
Well, exactly. And so we need to intervene. And so,
but the way
we intervene is let's not dig deeper in the whole of market fundamentalism that we've been in for the last 10 years and has not worked, has got us into this crisis. This is about reaching back into the same toolbox that simply does not work. Let's go in the opposite direction.
But I think Carl's thesis is that what we've experienced for the last 10 years is this rent pressure zone legislation and a tweaking of the market, and that's what hasn't worked.
But we also have been throwing €1 billion a year to private landlords in terms of HAP. We've been throwing loads of money in terms of Croí Cónaithe development funds and so on to developers. We've been given tax breaks to the
REITs, the institutional investors. And the result is they're making loads of money. Maybe it's not quite enough. Maybe that's why they're sitting on development land. But the answer is to move away from reliance on the market, which means we need an eviction ban. We need proper rent controls that actually don't allow rent increases. But the key thing is, and on this I agree with Carl, the question of supply. But where I disagree is, oh, we have to incentivize the private sector. Instead, the state needs to act to say the market isn't going to resolve this crisis. We need a state construction company to build social and affordable housing at scale, cut out the profit. We're paying 50 to 70,000 euros for every house in terms of pure profit alone for the main developer. Let's cut that cost out and let's deliver social and affordable housing, because supply is the answer.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we need to protect renters and protect those in danger of homelessness.
Card, would the argument in favour of and of market economics not be stronger if the big REITs had been losing money while these were in place?
I think that that would have made sure that the REITs went, that they wouldn't have been here. Like the idea of doing something that brings in, say, you know, money from retirees in Germany and life insurance funds to get like a pretty consistent return on housing. This is common all over the world. So it's not a case that someone made money and therefore some inherent bad thing has happened. I think what we need to remember is that there's a couple things. One is this idea that the state can do it. The state in Irish history was never the predominant supplier of housing. There was a bit of a golden era for them back in the kind of 40s and 50s where they did ramp up quite impressively, but they shrank back down and then mismanaged everything. But the state is also in charge of the management of delivering a children's hospital that became the most expensive in the world. And these are the people you want to put your faith in.
No, it's been built by a private developer.
Not by a private developer.
Exactly. And they're the ones ripping off the state.
The oversight of the project.
They're absolutely not ripping off the state. And they are building it as per contract. The issue is the contracts. Anyway, we will move on from that quickly. Go on, Carol.
I don't want to like casting aspirations about children's hospital. I'm just saying that that's the example that I would look at. Look at those kind of overruns. Look at anything that happens within the state. It's you've got this massive mismanagement, even in the public housing that we have, massive amounts of mismanagement. What I really think has to happen is to find a way to say, look, if you can't afford a house, we need a pathway for you. If there's land out there that the state is sitting on, maybe that should be, provided over to people who just regular citizens who can do something with it and maybe provide housing for themselves. If you own land, you need a right to be able to build on it and to stop saying, oh, well, if that gets us sprawl, well, look at the alternative. Look at the alternative. 3,000 euro rents in town, like Paul just said, 10,000 homeless people and more to come. We have to say there's a set of trade-offs there. And as uncomfortable as it might be, where me and Paul come from, we're not on the same side of this. But we are on the same side, by the way, when it comes to wanting to see people having a roof over their head and a decent life and the opportunity to achieve. And if we're doing things that don't get that, we can't keep repeating the same mistakes. Rent pressure zones didn't work. I mean, it's a factually true thing. They just failed. So we've got to stop them.
But rent pressure zones did work in one respect, which is to protect renters. I mean, there was an article by a series of people who opposed rent pressure zones, but they made the point that those who were in rent pressure zones and who stayed in their apartment since 2016 saw an average rent increase of 20%. Those who were not in rent pressure zones and who moved from one property to another saw an average rent increase of their rent was doubled. So this did save 80% of rent for those category of
currently
renters.
Currently renting, not future renters.
Let's protect the future renters. I mean, those future renters are currently protected under the legislation as it currently
stands. There's nowhere for them to rent.
There's nowhere for them to rent because the state is not dealing with the problem of the failure of the private market, and instead we're going to double back on trying to incentivise the private market, throwing more money at them getting very, very rich at the expense of ordinary people.
Paul Murphy, People Before Profit TD, Carol Dieter, Director of Irish Mortgage Brokers.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.